We're back. Parting Shot Podcast, UFC 237 preview. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm your host, James Lynch. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Adam Martin. I'd ask how you're doing, but I already know how you're doing. You're doing quite well. We've talked about this before. But the show is brought to you, as always, by MMA Oddsbreaker and Bad Boy. Let's get right into it, Adam. Bantamweight division, Talita Bernardo against Melissa Gatto. And right now, the odds makers have Gatto is a huge underdog at plus 390, Bernardo minus 490. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
Yeah, what are the odds open at here? Bernardo opened at minus 150 and Gatto opened at plus 110. So, wow. I mean, this line's balloon, James. I'm going to pick Bernardo, obviously, because she has the experience in the UFC. She just beat Sarah Morris. That's a good win. But she's 30 years old, so she's older than Gatto, who is a lot younger at only 23. But Gatto really hasn't fought anyone good. She's only been fighting as a pro for 2 years. So, you know, she's coming to the UFC pretty quick. Might be too much sort of step up, but I'm not convinced that's the case. I could see her winning this fight. So I'm going to stay away from it, James. I'll take Bernardo win decision. I think she grinds it out just like she did Morris. But the value's on the dog for sure. I mean, how could you not think the value's on her? She's an undefeated young prospect. And I don't have the guts to pick her here, James, but I'll take Bernardo by decision. But I think the value's on the dog.
Completely agree on this fight. There's some lines on this card that are just a little weird, in my opinion, as far as some of the betting favorites. So I'll probably be saying a lot of what Adam's saying as well, which is, you know, as far as value goes. And I should point this out. This is not a great card. I mean, as far as a pay-per-view goes, this is definitely more of a fight night than that. But again, we're troopers. We get through everything here. But yeah, I'm taking Bernardo, probably by decision. I'll look for the over in that one. Or what is the over right now? It's fight goes to a decision. There is even no over right now. Fight goes to decision minus 270. That's probably going to happen, but we'll see. Depends if Bernardo can finish it or not. All right, sticking in the bantamweight division, but on the men's side, we've got Hayone Barcelos taking on Carlos Joaquin Tuiraz. I don't know how you say that. Anyways, I know how to say Barcelos. Just said it there. He's a big favorite in this one. He is minus 550. Quiroz is plus 425. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
You know, Quiroz took the fight on very short notice. He's filling in. And Barcelos is a really good fighter, man. So, again, this is a tough fight for him. I'm more confident in Barcelos than I am Bernardo. I don't know. Minus 550. It's definitely a high line. But this guy's really good, man. He's on a six-fight win streak right now. Coming off back-to-back finishes over Kurt Hallebine and Gutierrez. Quiroz, he's 22 years old, so he's a lot younger, and he's on a nice little streak, I guess, undefeated streak of seven fights. But, I mean, you just talk about level competition, James. Like, yeah, I know that's something you're very big on, and there's no doubt about Barcelos has fought a much higher level competition. This guy, Quiroz, could be good in the future. I don't think this is a good fight for him, though. I'll take Barcelos. I think he stops the fight. I'm more confident in him than Bernardo. So if you want to parlay someone on the prelims, he'd be the guy to do it. But I'm looking kind of at that prop. Doesn't go the distance. I don't think this fight goes three rounds, man. I think he finishes the fight.
Yeah, I'm going to go Barcelos inside the distance. And you said they do have the prop up, I guess. Yeah, fight doesn't go.
Fight. Yeah, it doesn't go. You see
it? Yeah, I do see it. I was going to say, I'll probably, if Barcelos inside the distance comes, I might take a stab at that if it's reasonable, but yeah, Barcelos should win this. He's great, man. I really like his potential in that division. I like the fact that he's moved down, last couple fights. So lots of potential there. Give me Hayone Barcelos by stoppage. Let's move up to the welterweight division. We've got Warley Alves against Sergio Moraes. And right now the odds makers have Alves is the favorite, minus 145, Moraes, the underdog, plus 125. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
Yeah, I think the close line here is justified. Both guys are pretty solid fighters. Warley Alves, he came out of the gate strong in the UFC. He won the Ultimate Fighter Brazil 3. I thought he was going to be a future champion. He picked up a couple of really good wins. Alan Juban, Nordin Taleb, and he submitted Colby Covington. So he has that huge win over Covington in his resume. But since then, James, really disappointing. 2-3 since then. And coming off of a knockout loss to James Krause. And James Krause is not really a guy who knocks people out. So that's very concerning. He is somewhat young. He's 28. So that's a good thing. But, you know, you talk about guys that potentially could have been using some stuff that's banned substance. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a guy. I'm just saying, like, you look at his record since you saw this come in, and it's not that good. So I wouldn't be shocked if he was a guy that just, you know, Eric Silva. And then you got Moraes. He's 36, and he's coming off a loss to Anthony Rocco Martin. It was a close fight, competitive. He was on a nice win streak before that, I guess. The one loss to Usman, but prior to that, he was on a nice win streak. But, you know, the truth is, a lot of the guys he was beating are at the tail end of their career, and also some of the fights were, like, really close that he probably should have lost. I could see Moraes actually pulling this off just because the guy is an underrated fighter, James, and Morley Alves' cardio and chin are definitely concerning here, but I think Alves, with the youth advantage and just the athleticism, probably does get the job done here. So I'll take Alves, winning decision, but not betting on this fight.
I'll take Alves as well. Just for me, it's about youth. I think he gets it done. You know, again, that loss to Krause is a fight that I think he should have won, but, you know, we'll see how he does in this fight. It's in Brazil. Both guys are Brazilian. Not much to say about this fight. I just think that both guys have been a little bit underrated, but they've also been a little bit disappointing as well. So give me Morley Alves by decision. I'll just play it safe there. Let's go to the women's flyweight division. We've got Priscilla Cauchera against Luiana Carolina. And right now, Carolina is the favorite at minus 170. Cauchera at plus 150. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
Yeah, Carolina, she's 25 years old. She's coming off of a win on Bantamweight's Contender Series Brazil. She's on a fight win streak. She's definitely a solid prospect, and she's coming here against Cauchera, who's lost both her fights in the UFC. She got destroyed by Valentina Shevchenko, one of the worst beatdowns probably ever, and then especially in women's fights. And then the Molly McCann fight was – it was a competitive fight, but, man, she took some damage in that fight too. So I just think she's had some really brutal matches in the UFC, and I think coming off was like March, and it's only May. So, yeah, that's – to me, it's too soon for her to come back and fight again. I think Carolina wins the fight. What's the odds? She is minus 170. You know what? I mean – I'm not super confident because I don't know enough about her, but I think she'd be someone to like circle and look further into, because I think you have to fade catch where at this point in her career. So give me Carolina, probably win decision, and she's someone potentially could be a play.
Yeah, I think this is a setup fight. You know, I think Cauchera, the fact that she had to fight Valentina in her debut, and you know, she fought Molly McCann, just makes and McCann's someone else that they've been trying to build a little bit, just because she has a huge following in the UK. I think this is another setup here again, where they want the younger fighter to persevere here. No bet for me, but I do think this is one of those fights where they're trying to showcase the, you know, the up and coming prospect. You know, Cauchera is 30 years old. Carolina, like you mentioned, 25. You know, give me Carolina by decision. Again, it's probably a safe bet with that one. All right, this fight would have been awesome back in 2006, but in 2019, not so much. We've got PJ Penn and Clay Guida right now, and Guida, a sizable favorite, minus 535. Penn, the underdog, plus 420. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
I really like Clay Guida in this fight, James. I know the line's high, but I think he dominates this fight. I don't see any way PJ Penn wins this fight. I hate to say it because I like PJ. He's a cool guy, but man, jeez, what a bad matchup for him. What a bad matchup, James. Clay Guida is going to take him down and beat him up for three rounds. He's got the cardio advantage, and I think that's the only advantage he needs in this fight. Unless BJ comes out there and knocks him out in the first round, which I don't see happening, because Guida is actually pretty tough. That's pretty much the only way he'd win, so I don't see that happening. Bad matchup for BJ. This could be his seventh straight loss if he loses, so that's crazy to think about. But yeah, I think Guida dominates the fight and wins, James. Give me Clay Guida, and you know, again, the line's high, but I think, you know, parlay material, yeah, he's definitely someone to consider if you like going with those big favorites.
Yeah, I would just stay away from this personally. Yeah. That's my advice. As someone who's also, you know, enjoyed watching PJ Penn in his career, I just want to kind of leave it, because if he does win, I mean, you know, you don't want to lose any money on that. But, you know, it's not just that, Adam. It's the fact that he's got all this legal stuff going on outside the cage. That's got to distract him. And he's fighting in Brazil. Like, there's just too many things not to like about this fight. Guida does have knockout power. I mean, he knocked out Joe Lozon in 2017. There's a possibility for a knockout here. There's no way I can bet BJ in this fight, and there's no way I would bet minus 550 as well, either on Guida, just because, again, that line's way too high. Just, I'll say Guida by stoppage, second round, maybe, something like that, second or third round.
Ground and pound, something like that.
Ground and pound, yeah. Take them down, hammer fists, something like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, let's go to the bantamweight division, the women's bantamweight division. Irene Aldana against Betch Kohea, and right now the odds makers have, where are we here? Aldana is the favorite, minus 290. Kohea, plus 245. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
That line might be a little hot, just because I think this, just based on the style matchup, it's going to be competitive. They're both going to stand and trade. But you got to go with Aldana. I mean, I think she's the more technical striker. She's been fighting way more actively, which is good to you. Obviously, she's going into enemy territory here. But, you know, Betch hasn't fought in 2 years since she got knocked out by Holly Holm. And to me, that's a long way off. She is popular. It could be a close fight. If it does go to the scorecards, James, she could make it interesting, and that's why I'm probably going to stay away from this one, just because of that alone. But I think Aldana wins. I just think she's a better fighter, and I think she's going to win a decision. So give me Irene Aldana by decision. I think that's something, a prop that you could potentially look for when that comes out. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think at minus 290 there's value on her, though.
Yeah, and so I guess Betch is – yeah, this is at 135. Yeah, it is. Okay, so Aldana is – I guess she moved up in her last fight too, because I remember seeing her fight Chookagan. Oh, that was a bantamweight as well. That confused me. Yeah, I was going to say that fight with Chookagian. I was at that fight, and I think that could have gone either way, to be honest. And it's not a bad loss to Caitlin Chookagian. I think she's pretty high up there as far as the flyweight division goes. Obviously, that was at bantamweight. Yeah, Aldana will win this fight again. You know, younger. Doesn't have as much of a layoff. Yeah, I'll probably take her by decision. No bet though, because again, can't mess with Betch, right? So anyways, lightweight division, Thiago Moises, Kurt Holobo. And right now the odds makers have Moises as the favorite at -145, Holobo the underdog at +125. Adam, what are you going in this one?
Yeah, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this one, because Thiago Moises' case, 24 is young, but man, I was really disappointed in his debut against Dariush. I know it's Dariush, he's a good fighter, but man, he got taken down and beat up really easily. Just didn't impress me at all. Obviously, he had some really good wins, Contender Series, LFA. Guy's solid prospect, but I do think Kurt Holobo has a chance here, man. I know he hasn't had success in the UFC. I don't think he's won the UFC yet, but on the regional scene, this guy's been a killer. And I think, you know, coming off the back-to-back losses over Burgos and Barcelos, it's time for him to get back on the winning ways. And you know what, James? Hell, whatever. I'm going to take it. I'll take a shot in the dog here, man. Give me Kurt Holobo, James. I think he can get it done. I think he's going to grind up a decision. I think he's going to win the fight.
Last week, our consensus dog was Cole Smith. This week, our consensus dog is going to be Kurt Holobo. I'm going with him too here. I like him. You know what I like about this is what you just mentioned there, the experience. And Holobo is always in close fights. I mean, that last fight against Shane Burgos, he nearly finished him, and he just made a mistake and he got submitted. I think he knows this is it. I mean, it's rare to get a third chance in the UFC, because I think if Holobo loses this fight, it's done. He's out, because you can't lose. I mean, I know he beat Bissett, and then it was a no contest because of the IV thing, whatever. The other thing we should point out is that Holobo's moving back up to 55. If you remember, he's fought at featherweight. He talked to me when we did our interview. You'll see it. Sure Dog's going to post it this week. You know, he talked about the cut being impactful, and he thinks that without having to worry about that, we're going to see a lot better of a guy. To me, the way Thiago looked when he got in the UFC, and I know he has jitters and all that stuff, I didn't like what I saw. And, you know, it was only a couple fights ago that Robert Whatley, who's in PFL, completely outmuscled Thiago Moises and got a win there. And I think Holobo is a much better version than he is. I'm going Kurt Holobo by decision. I think he gets it done in enemy territory. I interviewed both guys. It's up on SureDog. You can get both perspectives, but I think Kurt, with his experience and just, you know, what he's had to do and what's on the line here, like Thiago loses, he might get another fight. He's still young. I'm sure he could bounce back, but with Kurt, this is it. He's got way more to lose here, and I think that's going to play in here, and I think he's going to want it more. You're going to see that heart, and he's going to get it done. So give me Kurt Holobo by decision. And actually, do they have? They probably don't have it yet. I was going to say, I'd look for the Holobo by decision prop. Fight goes to decision, it's -120. You know, I can't see Thiago Moises finishing Kurt Holobo, even though he has been finished in the last couple fights. But look who we lost to, Burgos, who just beat Cub Swanson. Haoni Barcelos is a killer. He's going to continue his winning ways here. Yeah, I really like Kurt Holobo. And let's not forget, Adam, one other thing I'll point out, and I realize it took place in 2015. Kurt Holobo has a win over Desmond Green. It's a good win.
It is.
So anyways, Kurt Holobo will be our consensus dog this week. All right, let's go to the – oh, no, we're still on the prelims. I can't believe this is on the prelims. It's actually a decent fight. We've got Little Nog taking on Ryan Spann at light heavyweight, and right now the odds makers have Ryan Spann as the favorite at -155, Little Nog +135. Adam, what are you going in this one?
Again, curious to hear your thoughts on this one, James. I mean, we all know Little Nog has been around forever. Veteran of the sport, 42 years old now, coming off a win over Sam Alvey. Lost Bader before that, knocked out Cummins. So he has some momentum coming to this fight. The win over Sam Alvey was very surprising. I'm pretty sure we both picked Sam Alvey in that fight, James, and came out there and really looked good in that fight. So good for him. But again, 42 years old, and I mean, he's been knocked out and taking a lot of damage in his career. So at some point, he's going to start getting knocked out again. And this could be the fight. Ryan Spann, only 27. He's on a 5-fight win streak. Wasn't too impressed with his debut in the UFC against Luis Conrique Barboza de Oliveira. It wasn't an impressive performance, but before that, 4 straight wins by stoppage. So the guy's 15 years younger. I think that's the key to this fight. 15 years age difference. But, I mean, geez, going into enemy territory against a guy with that much experience who's pulled off the upset quite a few times. I don't know, James. I was really looking at Ryan Spann for a bet at first, but now I'm kind of like questioning a little bit just because, I don't know, man. It could be that fight where the long term's back the clock somehow. Give me Ryan Spann. I think he's going to get the job done. Probably decision here. Maybe knocks out Little Nog, but man, I could see him getting knocked out himself. So I'm on the fence as far as the bet goes. What do you think?
I like Ryan Spann here. You know, younger guy. I think he really is coming into his own now since moving up to 205. If you remember earlier in his career, he fought at middleweight, and that's where he lost. He lost two in a row, actually. He lost to Robert Drysdale, and he lost to Trevin Giles, who's going to be making his return later this month, I should say. With Little Nog, it's simple. I mean, he's 42 years old. I think 9 times out of 10, Sam Alvey probably beats him, and it just didn't happen in that fight. And I realized that, you know, Little Nog has fought, you know, some tougher guys like Anthony Johnson and Bader and guys like that. But at 42 years old, that has to slow down. I know this is in Brazil. I know, you know, Span's got all the disadvantages here, but I like him. You know, I got a chance to speak with him. Again, that interview will be up on SureDog. You know, I really like what he had to say. And one thing he pointed out too is that, you know, a lot of times these fighters go down to Brazil and, you know, they only get like one cornerman and it's, you know, it's bad news. But he's actually going to have, you know, his full corner there. Diego Ferreira is his teammate. He's going to be on this card as well. So Safe, his coach, will be there as well. Span is a Fortis guy as well. So you know, too. But I think this is the fight that we're going to look back on and say Ryan Spann got a notable win here. I think he knocks out Little Nog. Maybe doesn't knock him out, but at the very least, I think he gets the win here. I really like what he's been able to do. So give me Ryan Spann by decision. Now, would I bet this fight? Kind of what Adam said. You know, it's in Brazil. You know, Spann, you know, had a layoff. Spann broke his hand. He was supposed to fight Jimmy Crute, if you remember, at UFC 234. Broke his hand. The hand's healed up apparently now. So, yeah, Spann is, you know, good to go. But I think I'll just stay away from this one just because you never know. But I do think Spann gets it done. I think this is a fight that the UFC knows. Look, they don't want Little Nog to win this fight. They have a prospect here in Spann who is, you know, 27. I think they want him to get the win. But, yeah, no bet for me. I'll just sit back and watch this one. All right, let's get to the main card. I love this fight. We've got Francisco Trinaldo against Diego Ferreira. And right now, the odds makers have... I was going to try and say that in like record time here, and I totally screwed that up. Because for some reason, Best Fight Odds has it as the co-main event. I don't know why. Diego Ferreira is the favorite at minus 165. Trinaldo, the underdog, plus 145. Adam, where are you going on this one?
Yeah, it's definitely not the co-main event. It's the opening card in the pay-per-view. And it's a great fight.
Yeah,
you have been really high on for... picked him his last couple of fights as a dog, James. Well, I shouldn't say the last couple, but the last fight, he was a dog. He was a consensus dog against Khabib and pull off that win. He's 6-2 in the UFC. He's just a great fighter, man. Like, I'm very high on him, Ferreira. He is 34, though, so it's not like he's a young guy. Right now he's fighting a high clip, but he knows he's got to get it going because he wants to fight for that title. You know, I remember the last show you talked about, James, how he makes that, like, 9-hour trek from, like, the gym he owns, I think, to, like, is it Fortis he trains at or something? Like, it's a crazy drive that he makes.
Yeah, it's 3 hours. So basically what he does is he, during the week, like, he'll see his family for, like, I think, like, early in the week, and then he drives to Fortis, which is, like, hours away, and then he lives there, basically, and just trains there, and then he comes back. So he does, yeah, it's a bit of a tough trek. And I asked him, I said, why don't you just move your family out there? And apparently he owns a gym in Texas as well, so he trains a bit there, and then he goes down to Fortis. But, yeah.
But it just shows the dedication this guy has to his career, you know, which is great. Trinaldo, I mean, Trinaldo's an awesome fighter, man. 40 years old. You know, it's funny, when he came in the UFC, James, I was very, I don't know, I was very sour on him because I remember him on the first Ultimate Fighter, and he wouldn't get off the stool against Thiago Perpetuo, who has been in the UFC for years, and that really concerned me. And back in the day, he had some bad losses. Like, he lost to Yuri Alcantara, who's a bantamweight, and this guy is a massive lightweight. So he had some bad losses, but... You know what, James? This guy's turned into a great fighter, coming off of a huge win over Evan Dunham by knockout. He's a solid fighter, man. But at some point, Father Time's going to catch up. And at 40 years old, I think Father Time's going to catch up in this fight. I like Ferreira, man. I think he wins the fight. It's going to be a tough fight. Trinaldo's a really good fighter. But I think Ferreira's going to grind out a decision. What do you think?
I like Ferreira too. Just to me, if you look at the two fighters, who's had more upside lately, I think it's Ferreira. And I realize, you know, two fights ago, he beat a guy that took a fight on a week's notice in Kyle Nelson. And we see how bad Nelson has looked, you know, especially over the weekend. But the win over Khabib's good. I know Khabib sort of hit a peak in his career, but that was a pretty dominant win. Trinaldo's looked good, has a little bit of a layoff, not too much of one, but he did, he fought back in, September. So it's been a bit. And then, you know, obviously Ferreira's fought a little bit more often. I'm going Ferreira by decision. I really like him in this fight. Actually, come to think of it, what's the line at right now? It is at minus 165. Maybe if that creeps in a little bit lower, I'll take a stab at him, but I think Ferreira wins this one. I feel pretty confident. All right, welterweight division, Thiago Alves, Leorando Staropoli. And right now the odds makers have Alves as the slight underdog at minus 105, Staropoli at minus 115. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
With the odds on here, minus 115, yeah. You know what, James? I like Staropoli in this fight because 26 years old. He's from Argentina, so he's not far away, and he's on a nice six-fight win streak. He, I think, won fight of the night in his debut against Hector Aldana. It was a really good fight. won that fight. Great. I mean, that guy's not a great fighter, but it was a solid win for him in his debut. The UFC clearly likes this dude. They're giving him a step up here against Alves, 35 years old, coming off of what I thought was a robbery decision against Max Griffin. The only reason he won is because that was in Brazil. Before that, lost two straight fights, including a brutal knockout against Curtis Mullender, who hasn't looked good at all lately. The last 3 years, his only wins over Patrick Cote besides that, and who's long retired. I don't know, James. I just think you have to fade Thiago Alves, man. 35 years old. There's no way I'd pick him here. I like Staropoli, man. It's kind of taking a shot in the dark here because he only has the one fight in the UFC, but 9 years younger, longer guy, bigger guy. To me, I like everything about him. The only thing is Alves with that experience. I mean, I could come to play and he could make it a dirty fight and win somehow, but I like Staropoli, man. I think at minus 115, it's probably worth a shot here.
Yeah, no bet for me, just again, because Alves has the experience edge. But, I mean, Alves really – I mean, he shouldn't have won his last fight. That Max Griffin won that fight, yeah. In my opinion. And then you have to go, back to Cote, who's retired, Jordan Mean, who's – I don't know what's going on with him. But he really hasn't had a good win. Now, granted, he's fighting tougher guys like Cucicano, Millender as well, although Millender didn't look great in his last fight either. But nonetheless, yeah, I'll take Staropoli, no bet. I think, if anything, the value here is on Alves just because of the experience factor. Because look at this. I mean, he's got – how many fights? He's 23-13. What's that, 36 career fights compared to 9. That's a huge difference. But saying that, he's had a lot of wear and tear too, injuries, everything. What about the height and reach? So Staropoli is 6 feet tall, 71-inch reach, 5'9", 70-inch. Okay, so physically they're not that much different. Yeah, I'll take Staropoli, but like I said, I think the value here is on Alves. All right. This is not the co-main event. What the heck? That's weird. I guess because it's Anderson Silva. Anyways, Jose Aldo, Alexander Volkanovski, not in the co-main event. Right now, the odds makers have Volkanovski is the underdog, plus 130. Aldo, minus 150. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
Great fight. Great fight. Love this fight. Great matchup. Okay, so Aldo has looked amazing lately, coming off back-to-back wins over Stevens and Carnero. I picked against him in both fights. I think you picked Stevens, but I'm pretty sure you picked Carnero like me. And he looked amazing. Wow. I mean, what a win for him there. He looks like he's back, man. He looks like the Jose Aldo of old. And that fight really arguably was the best performance of his career. He looked amazing in that second round. I've never seen him look that focused and determined to get the win. So amazing win for him. The guy's one of the best of all time. There's no doubt about it. And he looks like he's back. So good for him. And on the other hand, you got Volkanovski, 30 years old, 19-1 in his career, James. He's on a 16-fight win streak. He is, 6-0 in the UFC. Wow. I mean, I don't know. It's a really tough fight to call. I think, in my opinion, it's the hardest fight in the card to call. And I'll be honest, I was leaning towards Volkanovski the whole time, but something's telling me Aldo's going to pull this off, man. I just keep counting him out, and he keeps winning. I think stylistically it's a decent matchup for him because Volkanovski is a guy who usually takes guys down to the ground and beats him up there. Yeah, he did knock out Mendez in the feud, which was nice, but Mendez, first off, he retired after that fight. His chin also isn't very good. I think Aldo's got a much better chin. I don't know. I just can't see Volkanovski outstriking him. He could take him down. I doubt it, though. So, you know what? I'm going to go with Aldo to win a decision here, James, in one of the best fights of the night. But I can't bet it because I could see Volkanovski pulling it off. I'm very high on this guy. I think he could win. I'm not convinced that Jose Aldo's done, man, after those last two wins. I think he's going to get it done in Brazil. I think he's going to do it for his fans. So give me Jose Aldo.
This is a coin flip for me. It really is. I was so impressed with what Volkanovski did in his last fight against Chad Mendes. Like, I realize Mendes is retired and I know he had a layoff and all this stuff, but the way he finished him, I mean, that was incredible. And then on the same side, Aldo, I mean, I counted him out against Moicano. I thought, Moicano, he's looked good. He's been on a roll, but no, he finished him in that fight. The pick is Aldo. The bet, though, is on Volkanovski. I would recommend a bet on him. I think there is value on him here just because of the fact I was actually expecting Volkanovski to be the favorite here just right. Because of the fact he's, he's 19-1 and he's looked great. I can't pick against Aldo. I think Aldo's going to do it again. But again, there is some value here on Volkanovski. Actually, I would look, and I know it's super tough to figure out here, but maybe Volkanovski inside the distance might be worth it if you could get something a little bit different. Because you never know. He could crack Aldo. Aldo's taken some punishment in those Holloway fights. You never know. But the pick is going to be with Aldo. But this to me is the toughest fight on the card to predict. I think every other fight I could, I think the main event too, we can talk about that as well. But I really think this is a coin flip fight. But I'll give it to Aldo just on the experience and just, what he's been able to do. And I think if he does get hurt, he can find a way to come back and win it. So give me Jose Aldo. All right, co-main event, Jared Cannonier, Anderson Silva. Right now, the odds makers have Cannonier is the favorite at minus 150, Silva plus 130. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
I think this is a really tough fight to call, James. I don't know about you, man. I think this is really tough because Cannonier, okay, he's 35, but he's looked great lately, obviously, against David Branch. Before that, get knocked out by Reyes, lost decision Blachowicz. He was kind of stumbling, finding the division he wanted to fight. And you talk about guys, he's fought in three different weight classes. We talked about the last show, heavyweight, light heavyweight, middleweight for this guy. So he's fought everywhere. He did look good against Branch in the second round, but he lost the first round. So you have to remember that. And David Branch is a guy who's been very, very inconsistent in the UFC. So it was a great win, but I'm not convinced that he's still like a top guy at middleweight. And on the other hand, you got Anderson Silva. He's 44 years old now, which is crazy to think about. Coming off the loss to Israel Adesanya, which was following a two-year layoff. Like you've talked about this before, James. Stylistically, that was not an easy fight for Israel, and that's why he didn't look as good in that fight as we all thought he would. But, you know, I think Silva hung in there. And here's the thing about Anderson. Been knocked out one time in his career against Weidman. He's very hard to finish. And Ken, we saw him in the last fight. He got the knockout, but I don't know if he can go the full three rounds hard against a guy like Silva in Brazil. I think it's kind of a tough fight to call. I really do. So I've only picked one dog in the card so far. I don't think there's just going to be one dog that wins on this card. So I'm going to go with Anderson Silva, the win decision, man. And I know it's crazy to think about because he's 44 and I don't want to pick him, but I think I have to because I just have too many questions about Cannonier. And yeah, I just think Anderson's going to maybe just use the crowd to his advantage and win a decision. So give me Anderson by decision. I'm not betting on the fight though.
I think the value on this fight is for sure on Anderson Silva, just because it's in Brazil. Like you said, he's tough to finish. Israel Adesanya couldn't even finish him. And we've seen how, much of a, beating he's put on other opponents. And like you said, it looks like Cannonier's only path to victory is the knockout. And I just don't see that happening against Anderson. I'm not going to pick Anderson only because I think I think Cannonier, if it does go three rounds, I think he can outstrike Anderson, believe it or not. I may be wrong about this. I just see Cannonier being a little bit faster and getting a decision and Silva just not pulling the trigger, kind of like the Bisping fight, kind of like that, where Anderson will have his moments. You think he's going to finish him. And then he's just able to, Cannonier's just able to land a few more shots and be a little bit more active here. You never know though, because Anderson, I can't remember the last time he's fought in Brazil. It's been a while. My pick is Cannonier, but I would absolutely recommend betting Silva because he's absolutely a live dog here as far as the betting value goes. So bet would be Silva, Cannonier though, for the pick. We'll see what happens. All right, main event. Very interesting. You see this every once in a while, but it's not too often. We've got the champion as the underdog. Rose Namajunas right now, plus 115. Jessica Andrade, minus 135. Adam, which way are you going in this one?
Jeez, another tough fight to call, man. You know what, James? I think we sold this card a bit short earlier on. I think the main card is really good. Maybe the prelims aren't that great. This main card is fantastic, and this is another fantastic fight. So you got Rose, 26. Best fighter in the world at 115 right now on paper anyways. Champion, back-to-back wins over Joanna. Hasn't fought in a year since that Conor McGregor bus accident. I just saw that guy, Mike's MMA Picks. He was talking about his Twitter saying that she coming off a broken neck, and she was saying that to I think it was Jeff Wagenheim or something like that. So that's not good. I didn't even know that until I just read that on Twitter a couple minutes ago. That's not good. She's great, man. There's no doubt about it. Rose is great, but Andrade is special. 27 years old. She's a little bit older, but tons of experience in the UFC. She looks amazing at 115, coming off that brutal for Carolina. We both watched that fight at Boston Pizza last year, James. Six and one at strawweight. She's amazing. She's going to have the hometown crowd behind her. She's fought way more often lately. Tough fight to call. I got to go with Andrade, though, man. I really do, James. I think it's a hard one to call. I just like the fact she's more active. I like the strength, the power, the knockout power, everything. So give me Andrade to win. I'm not going to bet on it, though. I'm just going to sit back and watch. This one's going to be a great fight.
I'm not making the same mistake I've made the last couple weeks where I picked the betting favorite in the main event. I'm going the other way on this one on Rose. And hear me out here for a second. First off, I think the layoff's been made out a little bit too much in this one because Rose fought in April of last year, but Andrade fought in September. So it's not like it was a huge, like she has one more fight than Rose would have had last year. It's not that big of a difference in my opinion as far as layoff goes. But nonetheless, layoff can impact fighters differently. We have to remember who she beat twice in her last two fights, and that's the former champ, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. The way she knocked her out, which no one's ever done that to Joanna in the UFC. And then, the second fight, I mean, don't hear what Joanna has to say because she thinks she won the fight. That was a clear cut win for Rose, in my opinion. And to do that twice is super impressive. It reminds me a bit of what Max Holloway did to Jose Aldo twice. I mean, very impressive. You can't ignore that. And yes, Andrade knocked out Carolina in her last fight and you know, Carolina, I think we know now she's not as great as we thought she was. And also Andrade, you know, finisher, and you just don't see that too often in the women's division, especially the strawweight division as well. The thing I like here about Rose as well, aside from the fact she's a year younger, it seems like we're seeing her, you know, sort of coming to her own, is that she's going to have a height and reach advantage in this one. She's 5'5 with a 65-inch reach. Andrade is 5'2 with a 62-inch reach. So if Andrade can't get on the inside, I think it's going to be tough for Andrade to really go out there and knock her out. And we saw that Andrade had issues with that when she fought Joanna as well. And I know MMA math doesn't work, but I think Rose is kind of being undervalued here, because I think a lot of people, and I'm not saying you, but I do see a lot of people being like, you know, she's mentally weak because of the Conor thing. No. I know you didn't, but I see people saying that as well. And I think that's part of the reason why Andrade is the favorite here, is because people are just, you know, totally writing her off because of that whole situation. But I think Rose is going to prevail here. I know it's in Brazil. I know she's going in enemy territory, but I think Rose gets it done and takes care of business here. I'm going to pick her to win a decision here. I think Rose is back. I think Andrade had a good run, but it's going to end here. And I think that Rose takes home the decision. And actually, I wanted to see what the fight goes to.
10. Yeah.
I might take that. Because Rose, I mean, she was finished against Carla on Tough, but I mean, that was all mental. I think, you know, since then, she's really grown, and we've seen some really impressive wins from her, you know, finishing Michelle Waterson, who, you know, that's a pretty good win to have now. Yeah, I think Rose gets it done. You know, we'll see. Might be wrong about this one, but again, what was the last couple of weeks? All the underdogs have seemed to be win. I think it continues here.
I was thinking about that earlier today. So many dogs have won the main event this year. So
we'll see. I could be wrong, but at the very least, so I guess since we won't be doing a podcast after this, Adam and I will just have to talk crap on Twitter, and maybe we'll figure something out. I don't know. We'll do something. Maybe I don't know. Well, we got to talk about this though for sure after. All right, Bellator 221. Quickly, we'll go through this. This is actually, in my opinion, the better card. If you look at like the name value on here, some of the names on here, you know. Obviously, there's some good matchups on 237. We talked about that as well. The prelims, the only one I'd keep an eye on is Askar, who trains out of Rufus Sport. He's fighting this Taylor Moore guy who's 9-4. But Askar, he's a pretty solid fighter from what I hear. He's in the undercard. Yeah, I think that's about it as far as the undercard goes. Main card, Taiwan Claxton against James Bennett. I think this is a setup fight for Claxton, the same way we saw Raymond Daniels last week. I'll just zoom through this and then I'll get sort of your thoughts on it as well. We've got Jake Hager returning against TJ Jones. Now, I tried to get an interview with Jake Hager, and as far as I know, he's not doing much media for this fight. I have no idea why that is. I spoke to Josh Rafferty, his coach, the Ultimate Fighter, season one alum, who's his coach, and he says Jake's looking great. Again, he's fighting a can here. That's sort of what they're doing. I don't blame Bellator. You got to build Jake Hager up here. So a winnable fight for him. AJ McKee and Pat Curran is a great fight. I like McKee in this one. I think he realistically could be fighting for the title right now. And Curran's had a long layoff. He hasn't fought. Well, let me see this last fight. His last fight was, October 2017. He's 31 years old, which is surprising. You'd think Curran's a little bit older with how long he's been in Bellator, but give me McKee in that one, whether it's a stoppage or a decision. I think it's going to be a big win for him. Douglas Lima and Michael Page. I think Douglas Lima mops the floor with Michael Page. If there was any indication of what Michael Page is actually like as a fighter, we saw that in the fight with Paul Daly. That was an awful fight. And that was a fight too, where Page, I think, really showed that he's just not as, you know, flashy as we thought he is. He can beat those lower level guys, but when you're fighting a guy like Douglas Lima, I don't think he'll be able to get away. And remember, Lima, you know, that was a close fight he had with Rory McDonald. I think that was a fight that could have potentially gone either way. I like Lima in that one too. And in the main event, Patricio Pitbull, Michael Chandler. You know, again, I always have to go with the guy who's been in the heavier weight class. I got to go with Chandler on this one, but I think this will be pretty close. Patricio, very tough guy. You know, the fact that he, you know, went the distance with Emmanuel Sanchez and you know, Vaishal, he never is out of a tough fight here. And Chandler just looks so impressive coming off the unanimous decision himself. Give me Chandler, probably by decision in this one, but he could potentially stop it as well. So just your thoughts quickly on the Bellator card, and then we'll get to the questions.
Oh. I honestly don't know much about these guys to talk about them. Main card, Jake Hager. I mean, I don't want to make fun of the dude, but just go to like look at the topology for that picture of TJ Jones. That guy looks like he's about to get his face beaten by Jake Hager. So that, you talk about mismatch, James. Like this, he's just going to get beaten down. I would expect Hager to be like a -1,000 favorite in this fight. I like McKee over Curran. I mean, Curran's looked good lately, nice little win streak, but hasn't fought in almost 2 years. And I think he's on the downside of his career, despite the win streak. And McKee's an amazing young talent. So I like McKee a lot in that fight. Man, you know what? Like, crazy to think about, because I do think he's probably going to lose the fight. But you talk about his career, he's always been a huge favorite. Now he's a big underdog. So I think there's a little bit of value on Michael Page. I'm probably going to stay away from this fight completely, but I would rather pick I'm going to pick Lima, but I'd rather bet on Paige, if that makes sense. And then the main event, honestly, I feel the same way about that fight. I think, again, Chandler should be favored, like you mentioned, heavier guy, more experience at that weight class. But Patricio is a beast, man, and Chandler has been knocked out a couple times in his career, and Patricio's got a ton of KO power. So another fight where I'm going to pick the favorite, but I'd rather put money on the dog. I think, you know, Bellator, usually the favorites do win. We should keep that in mind, but I think there could be some upside potential here on this card.
How do you think Paige beats Lima? Sorry, you broke up a bit there.
Maybe I'll strike him, James, honestly. That's pretty much how he's won all his fights. I know, not the Paul Daly fight. That was a bad performance by him, but he still won the fight. So the guy's undefeated for a reason, man. He's a good fighter. I don't know. Like, I like Lima. The line opened at minus 330, and he's minus 240 now. So people are clearly taking Michael Page here. They think there's value on him, right? And I'm kind of seeing where they're coming from. But I don't know if I could pull the trigger on it. I don't think I could bet on Lima at minus 240. I think I'm going to pass on him.
Well, last thing I'll say about Page, he is undefeated. But, I mean, you know, Rudy Bears, Charlie Oliveros, Jeremy Holloway, right. Cyborg, the other Cyborg, Gonzalez, which was a split. That was a really not great fight. Rickles, who's really a lightweight. Daly, yeah, I mean, that Daly fight could have gone either way. I don't know. I just – that seeing that Daly fight, I think, was his step up. And he didn't look great in that one. And
I'm
just
the same as you. I'm the same as you. But you know, didn't he say, like, his dad passed away, like, right before that and stuff? Like, he had some personal issues in his camp and stuff. So maybe that just wasn't the best version of him.
Did he look good in the Gonzalez fight either? That's what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm sour on the guy a little bit. But I just think, based on how he's been, his whole career is a massive favorite. To see him as a big underdog's kind of surprising.
All right, let's get to questions, guys. Appreciate it. Again, if you have even more questions, I'll be doing my usual Q&A over on MMA Sucka at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, so I can get your questions there. Marcus, do you think Douglas Lima versus Michael Venom Page is flying under the radar? I think this is a marketable fight that should have bigger buzz in the MMA community. Yeah, it is. And again, it's just because Bellator has been doing a lot of cards lately. They don't give time for people to get excited about cards. How about Jake Hager fighting on this card? Remember when he made his debut? That was a huge deal. And I barely heard anything about him fighting this weekend as well. So I think it's just, yeah, it's unfortunate because the UFC's got their show going on. There's going to be focus on that. You've got Anderson Silva and Aldo and Rose on the card. Like, that's, you know, to some degree overshadowing the Bellator card as well. But yeah, I agree. Should be a bigger fight for sure.
Yeah, it's just dumb that they're doing head to head. I hate it. I think it's bad for the fans. So I've talked about this before. I'm pretty sure you're with me on that, James. Like, why? There's so many weekends in the year. Why go head to head with your biggest card of the year? It's kind of dumb, in my opinion.
Jamie Gidley, do you think Aldo will be at 100% for this fight? Yeah, he had an illness, and I know there was talks about him potentially getting out of the fight. I think it was an illness or something. Yeah, he had some issue where it potentially wasn't ready to go. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor, clearly, and I don't live in Brazil. I don't know. Maybe ask Guilherme Cruz or whatever from MMA Fighting. He might know.
Yeah.
Tommaso Mark. Hey, James, playing matchmaker. Thoughts on Alan Jouban versus Carlos Condit? Yeah. I like that fight. Two Jets.
Or then their careers, probably. I don't know. Like, it's a winnable fight for Condit, but also winnable for Jouban. Great fight. I like that one, man.
Hey, James, with Andrade having fought all the way up to 135, do you see any chance of her being a 2 or 3 weight world champ if she can get by Rose? Probably not, only because she's pretty small. She's like 5'2", right? Yeah, I think it would be tough, but you never know. I mean, if she goes out there and starches Rose in the first, which could happen, she's got knockout power. Maybe, but I'll say no.
I don't think she'd beat Amanda or anything like that. Like at 135, she'd be too small. And remember, when she came to the UFC, she was forced to go 135 because there was no 115.
Tommaso Mark, James, I'm really hoping Volkanovski pulls this off. You think Alex hits harder than Edgar and Mendez with two wrestlers who Aldo beats? I think Volkanovski right now hits harder than Edgar and or Mendez. Yeah, just because he's got to lose some power at some point. He's getting up there, right?
Yeah.
Tommaso Mark, do you expect Lima to dominate Page? I mean, I do, but, we'll see. I mean, I might be wrong. I've had some bad reads lately on fights. We'll see. That's why, again, don't like, Adam and I give our opinions and stuff, but like, we're not the guys that, like I said, are in the basement with the lights off, you know, got UFC Fight Pass playing like 24/7. Like, I got a family, I got other stuff going on. Like, I don't have time to watch tape on every single fighter. I just go based off what I've seen, you know, memory, things like that. Some, you know, some notes, some stats, things like that, but it's not like extensive as some of these touts are.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, me and James want to do all in our picks or no about it, but I mean, sometimes we're wrong, man, but we're not selling our picks. That's the one thing you should say, James.
It's a free show. It's a free country. You can watch
it. It's a free podcast, guys. So, you know, I'm sure James and me, we both had some guys, you know, you know, bad pick and stuff, but it is what it is. That's the thing about betting. You're not going to get everything right. Even the best guys like Kyle gets them wrong, man. Like, he had a big week, by the way, but even
he did. Very impressive. Kyle's great. And Kyle's a great guy too. This is what I like about Kyle compared to some of the other touts out there. And, you know, I'm not talking about anyone specifically, but the guy's not cocky. He's not arrogant. He posts his plays. He's not saying like, ooh, I'm going to go buy this and that. Like, I like him because he works hard. He's not a flashy guy. Like, a lot of these touts brag about all their stuff. Like, you know, it's just annoying. Like, a lot of these touts, I don't follow them because they're so annoying.
Yeah.
Kyle's a good dude, and I got to meet him in Vegas a couple years ago. Really nice guy. So, even though I gave him a really bad bet, you know, I always bring this up with Kyle because I don't know why, but I remember when I think it was Chad Laprise fought Brian Camozzi, and I said, "Man, Camozzi's a huge underdog. I think there's some value here." And Camozzi got knocked out, and I don't think he's in the UFC anymore. Although he's going to be a dad soon. I don't know if you saw that, Brian Camozzi and his wife Brittany Camozzi. He's going to be a dad soon. Anyways, Raheem Nazir. Looking at the lineup, do you have overall winner predictions for PFL in each division? No, I do not, because I don't even know who's still in every division. I think they announced everyone yet. I'd have to go look at it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they might have, but you know what? I feel like that's on Thursday. I feel like it needs more promotion, especially with being on ESPN. It'd be nice to see. I'm not sure what Ariel's show lineup looks like today, but I would hope he has.
Oh, you know, do you want to talk about that quickly? Actually, I got to bring that up. So Ali Abdelaziz is going to be on Luke's show today, and they've got Neiman Gracie in studio. Ariel, no Ali fight like that. There's definitely still a beef going on between the two for sure, because like, I haven't seen any of Ali's fighters on Ariel's show in like a couple weeks since he had that whole Twitter thing with him where he says that, do you pay to train with, or I forget what he said. He said something about training with Ali or something. I forget. So that's interesting. So mind you, Luke's show's in New York. I think Ariel's show's in Connecticut, I think. Although I'm not sure. I shouldn't speak out of term there. But yeah, to answer your question, it sucks that there's not like more promotion for that. Although I'm doing a couple interviews this week. I'm supposed to talk to Chris Wade today. I'm talking to Jeremy Kennedy tomorrow and Lance Palmer tomorrow as well. So, and Steven Seiler. So I'll be doing my part. Let's see here. Do you expect a possible fight of the night between Irene and Betch? Possibly. I mean, Betch, yeah, I think it's possible.
It is. And I find like the UFC likes to reward the women's fights too. But I mean, geez, like, look how many good fighters on this card. The other thing they could do is do four performance of the night bonuses. You're going to see a lot of KOs. I definitely think that's going to be a fight in the contender by the end of the night, just based on the style matchup. But, you know, it's just one of those things, James. Again, it'd be nice to see them give out more bonuses, because I feel like there's going to be a shitload of knockouts in this card. You're going to see like a couple guys get rewarded for them.
Dylan Lavery, out of these Bellator welterweights, who do you think is UFC top 10 caliber right now? Rory, Fitch, Lima, or Kreshkov? You know, to be honest, I need to see one more fight out of Rory to really determine where he's at. Because again, people are like, Robbie Lawler stole his soul. But then how did he beat Paul Daly and Lima? Like, those were good fights. Like, you know, Rory didn't have a good one, you know, in his last bout for sure. I think Rory and Fitch could still, like, I think Rory and Fitch would beat Carlos Condit or potentially Neil Magny, guys like that. Yeah. I think Douglas Lima, same thing. Koreshkov maybe, but I think he's had a bit of a fall off since that win over Douglas a couple years ago.
I think the four guys are really good. Even Korshkov's pretty damn good fighter, man.
There's some lower tier welterweights for sure. Like, you know, we'll see. Again, another fight I'm interested in, and I'm not trying to throw shade at either of them, but Diego Sanchez and Michael Chiesa, like, where do they belong in that division? We'll find out. That was good matchmaking there.
Because I like that matchup.
It'll be interesting to see kind of what.
What about that Gadella and Marcos fight? Who you like?
Love that fight. I think it's a good fight for both. Is Marcos really? This is the question we're going to get answered. Is Marcos that good? Is her last performance an indication she's getting better? And does she still got it? Because I remember a lot of people picking her, including myself, over Nina Ansaroff. She didn't get it done. She needs a win. Randa needs to show that she's still, you know, if this is a new Randa. So I love that fight, and I love that that's an international fight week. I can't wait to go see that. So I'll be there covering that one. James, why is this card so light? There are only four interesting fights out of 11, honestly, for Francisco Trinaldo on a pay-per-view. I think because they stacked 236 and then they're stacking 239. And so you're seeing like a couple cards like suffer. Like, they're also having like, I think 238 is actually going to be a decent card too, the Chicago one, right? So I'd have to go look at it again. It's just, it happens. They're going to have pay-per-views where, you know, they stack the deck too much. And then there's other fights that get moved around. That's why there's too many cards.
I've said there's too many cards. I like the Macano and Zombie fight, but is that really a main event? Like, even of a fight night, I'm not sure.
No, it's not. Raheem Nazir, six out of the last seven main event underdogs have won. How long do you think this will realistically last? And which upcoming main events do you think underdog has a chance? Well, I think Rose wins this weekend. So I'll think it continues there. They have the odds up for Lee and Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos could beat Lee, man. We'll get our thoughts. Yeah,
we won't preview that one, obviously, but I guess since we're on preview, we could talk about it quickly. I don't know, James. I know you're gonna probably pick Lee because you love him. but RDA could win.
Yeah, he definitely could win. There's some interesting lines here as well. I'll probably touch base with Adam. I mean, I think, you know, when cards come up, if we're not doing a podcast, I think at the very least we'll kind of maybe discuss it and throw something out on Twitter.
Megan Anderson and stuff, Felicia Spencer. You want to talk about that quickly?
I'll address it. I mean, I talked to Megan on the phone last. Basically, what happened was I thought it was something I said in my interview with Felicia, but I went back and watched it and I barely said anything about Megan, if anything. I guess on a podcast, I can't remember if it was this one. I think it was the Fightful one. Someone had asked about Megan Anderson and I said that she was overrated. Now, listen, the context of this is that I think, according to her, I said that she'd been overrated her entire career. I don't think I said that. And if I did, that's definitely wrong. I don't feel that she was overrated her entire career. I feel like when she got signed to the UFC, there were people who were picking her to beat Cyborg. She fought Holly Holm instead. She had a layoff. I think the Holm fight was very one-sided. And all I said was that I think that there was a part, you know, there was a time when perhaps she was overrated because of the fact that people were picking her to beat Cyborg. That's it. And I said this on a podcast casually, and I probably should have used my words better. But anyways, fast forward to last week on the Aussie and Fancy breakdown that Megan Anderson does. They read it out as a mean tweet, which I thought was totally unfair because, like, I had said this on a podcast. And look, the issue isn't that she found out that I said this and that I'm backpedaling. I absolutely stand by what I said. I explained the reasons why. I said, you know, the Holm fight was one-sided, whatever. But she made it out like I had tweeted that to her, which was completely wrong. And I think completely, like, not fair to me because, like, I'm not like the journalist who's going to like attack fighters. I would never do that. Yes, I probably should have used my wording better on that podcast. I apologize. I ended up having to call Megan because what happened was this escalated. I messaged Laura Sanko. I talked to her and over the phone and I said, look, like, you know, just so you guys know, like I never tweeted this to Megan. I said it on a podcast. I stand by what I said, but it's kind of taken out of context a little bit. You know, I'm happy to explain my reasons why. So I talked to her and it seemed like everything was fine. And then I guess Megan saw a tweet. I was tweeting to someone else about it saying like, it seems like everything's okay. And then she's like, it's not okay. She quote tweeted me. All of her woke fans came after me and, you know, said I was overrated and all this stuff. But the thing is, like, a lot of people don't know the context of that, which was I was asked a question on a show about Megan. It might have actually been this podcast now that I think about it. And, you know, and I said that she perhaps had been overrated, but I never said she was overrated her entire career. And if I did say that, I apologize because that's not what I meant. What I meant was when she signed with the UFC, I think people felt like she was going to be the next champ. And clearly when she fought Holm, that didn't happen. So we talked it on the phone. Her and I are fine. Megan deleted the tweets. It lasted for about, I don't know, half an hour on Twitter. It got a little crazy, but I stand by a lot of what I say, you know, and I don't mind, you know, arguing that. I admit two things I did wrong in that is I should have, you know, I shouldn't have maybe said the words that I said overrated. I should have, you know, explained a little bit more my point because I feel like I was misrepresented there. And two, I should have gone to Megan directly when I saw it happen. I went to Laura instead just because Laura follows me on Twitter. I figured I would have, you know, snapped it there. And I understand Megan being upset, but we talked on the phone for about 20 minutes. We're fine now, as far as I know. So that's that. Not much more to say. But I have an issue. And like, you know, it's something we've talked about on the podcast before too, because I said something on here and then I see a whole Reddit thread, like people taking stuff out of context. I realize what I say on here has its consequences, but I'm not going to not give my opinion on something just because I got to be politically correct. I'm happy to share my thoughts on things and give my opinions. But what I don't like is people taking stuff out of context and then making it into a bigger thing. Like people saying I wouldn't say this to Megan's face. Yeah, I would. I totally would. I would say, look, I feel like to some degree you're overrated. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I also don't think that's mean. I think that's just me doing my job. We're not a PR company. We're not a PR firm. We're not sit here to write just glowing reviews. You have to be honest in an assessment of a fighter. So anyways, I've talked enough about this, but yeah, that's my thoughts and everything. And yeah, that's that. So do you got anything to say about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you've manned up to this one, James. You know, it is what it is. I mean, like you said, you know, you apologized and you've addressed it. I think it's over.
But I think I was misrepresented.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, James. But like you said,
imagine if you had said something on here and then someone had gone and said that wrote it as a mean tweet. That's not what I did at all. So
and I have, and I'm surprised that Kaylin Curran and her camp haven't come after me before. If anyone's been critical like for someone like her, I mean, but it is what it is, right? Like we're journalists, man, and we have our opinion and this is our podcast. And you know, it's like this. It's like would you rather us just told the company line say every fighter is amazing, or would you rather us be honest? I'd rather be, well, the podcast is over now anyways, but I'd rather be us be, you know, critical and give our true opinion, James. So, you know, I'll back you up on that one, man. And you
well,
know,
and I'm happy to explain the reasons why I said that. And I don't necessarily think that's mean. It's not like I said she's terrible or she sucks or anything like that. I said she's overrated. Yeah, I could have used better wording than that, but I don't think that's a crazy, outrageous thing to say. I mean, there were people picking her to beat Cyborg. There were. So anyways, that's that. Let's see here. James, with Robbie Lawler's new body, do you think it will give him a chance to muscle himself and land bombs on Woodley? What do you mean his new body? Did he, is he like, I don't follow him on social media.
Is he looking? I didn't know he had. I thought he just trained. I didn't even know he used Instagram.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that fight with Woodley's a coin flip. You talked about that in the last show. Tommaso Mark, is Pettis versus Ponzinibbio the fight to make? Yeah, that's interesting. I think they both have the same management. I think Ponzinibbio is a first round guy. I'm trying to remember if he is. I can't remember. But
I like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Ponzinibbio's got a fight though. Yep. Let's see here. James Betterchin, Ortega, Gaslam, Barbosa, or Choi. Gaslam. Gaslam's got a really good chin.
Oh yeah. He hasn't been finished out like by knockout, I don't think, right?
No. Tac Palma 253. Did you guys see the picture of Dana White and Eddie Hearn? Daily Express article saying the picture sent boxing fans into a frenzy, calling a crossover fight between Anthony Joshua and John Jones. Look, until they sign something boxing wise, I'm not going to believe anything. Remember, Dana also wore a Zuffa boxing shirt. How many Zuffa boxing fights have we seen?
A couple of years ago. Yeah, he said, I think Roy Jones was supposed to sign and stuff.
Tommaso Mark, who would win out of Jeremy Stephens and Justin Gaethje at 55? Gaethje easily right now, I would say.
Right now, yeah, for sure. It's a good fight, but Justin, I think he deserves something bigger than that.
Ludabella's boxing promoter years ago did MMA versus boxing with Rogan, comparing MMA to human cockfighting, but now his promotion is on UFC Fight Pass. He said he'd like to go on Joe Rogan. Oh, so no, it wasn't Rogan who said that. It was DiBella who said that MMA was cockfighting. Yeah, and he said he'd like to go on Jerry. Yeah, I'd like to see it. That's a famous clip. If you haven't seen it, years ago, Rogan and Ludabella went on ESPN. It's a pretty good clip, and they got into like a heated argument. Yeah, why not go on Rogan's podcast and hash it out? I think Lou was wrong there, and I think he underestimated the popularity of the UFC at the time. James, did you see that Rose was training with Gaethje to prepare for Andrade? She was heard saying repeatedly, "This is going to hurt." Thoughts? I mean, it's good, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me. They have the same coach, so of course they'd be training together. They're both Trevor Whitman fighters. Tac Palma 253, Yair Rodriguez versus Abid. Is there still interest in that fight happening? I haven't heard anything about either of those guys, so maybe they will fight. Who knows? But I think they should split them up because I think both need to get built up a little bit.
I'm with you, James. I'd rather see them fight someone else. But at this point, man, if they're not going to fight anyone else, it's fight each other.
I'll agree with that there. Let's see here. Does Aldo still have a legit path to the title? He does if Max Holloway loses his next fight, or if, yeah. I think, right, if Aldo wins, they're going to have to do the Edgar fight. If Volkanovski wins, then they might have to switch that up. We'll see. Depends how Volkanovski wins. If he gets a decision or something, probably not. But if he goes out there and finishes Aldo, yeah, you got to give him a title shot. Jamie Gidley. Hey, James, another week of no Ali clients and Ariel show. Do you think they have broken up? Yeah, I already talked about that. I think there is something there. Tommaso Mark, which win streak is more impressive? Volkanovski's 16-fight win streak or Jimmy Rivera's old streak of 20 fights in a row? I think they're both similar because, like, Rivera had that win over Faber. I know that Faber was on his way out. Volkanovski had the win over Mendez. You could say Mendez was on his way out. It's tough to say. I'll go Rivera.
Yeah.
He had some good wins in there.
Yeah. But Volkanovski got that huge win over Mendez too, right? So.
Tac Palma says, do you guys know the issue between Donald Cerrone and Aljamain Sterling? I do not. Do you?
Didn't know there was one. Was he training at BMF Ranch? Maybe something happened there. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't know there was an issue, though.
Let's see here. Pig Lords MMA. Joanna's takedown defense is a lot better than Andrade's. Styles make fights, blah blah blah. I'm trying to find a question in here. Do you think Andrade could take her down with her cardio hold up? Oh, so yeah, Tommaso Mark saying could she take Rose down? Yeah, it's possible, but I think Rose has probably worked on her takedown defense since the Carla fight, I would think.
I don't think that fight goes to the ground. I feel like it stays standing. I just think, like, I know you're picking Rose. For me, I'm taking Andrade because I just feel like she's going to keep pushing forward. That's what I like about her, man. She never stops coming. But it's going to be a great fight, James. And, man, if another underdog wins in the main event, how could I be surprised after what's going on this year?
Yeah, no, for sure. So we're at it's 1:05 Eastern time. You want to do like another 10 minutes and then we'll wrap things up, I think? Because we started late, right? So
let's do 5 more minutes.
5 more minutes. Okay, I got you. Kevin Scott, I just wanted to thank the both of you for all your great free content every week. I look forward to your glorious reunion in the future. Well, I'll tell you what, and I'll talk about this quickly I'll talk about this more on the Q&A this afternoon. I mean, my plan right now is to do a similar show on the Score and just have rotating hosts because like they're not going to bring anyone else in. So I'll keep it on and maybe Adam can come back on and like soon, like obviously you know, I don't want anyone to come on and not get paid. I mean, obviously that's, you know, we get paid to do this show, so I understand that. But I mean, Adam and I could do whatever. Adam could do his own thing and I could come on and a guest. Like, I don't see there being an issue there. So we'll figure something out. I know you guys like the show and we certainly don't want it to like completely die right now, but you know, I think we'll reunite soon, but maybe we'll figure something out, whether it's I come on Adam's show or Adam comes on mine, or we'll figure something out. But we know there's a demand for it, so we'll definitely keep that in mind.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment, man. Appreciate it. Show, James, it's been good.
Yeah, Tommaso, Mark, James, with your new job, will all your YouTube content remain on this channel or will it be archived in a new format? No. So this channel, it's not dying completely. I am going to probably keep like tutorials and things like that on here, but my interviews, all that stuff, it's all going away. I will be making a new channel with the score going forward. And I'll have information on that on this channel, so you guys won't have to go and look for it. I'm in the process of getting that done this week. Let's see here. What do we got? Who should Nico Montano fight when she returns?
Good question. Like that one. Oh, how about,
how about Valentina Shevchenko?
How about the winner of
Aspen? Not Valentina. What's her sister's name? Antonina.
I think she's higher ranked. How about Roxanne? Why not? How about Roxy?
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense. Did they ever fight on the show? I think they were supposed
to. I think they might have, right?
Did they fight at the finale? And is that how she won the title?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. My bad. Sorry, guys. What about the winner of Eubanks and then Ladd then? Maybe that makes sense.
Eubanks or Ladd, or maybe do... No, that's at 135. Remember, oh, Eubanks. Eubanks,
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Eubanks
moved up. How about the winner of Montana De La Rosa and Andrea Lee?
Sure, why not?
That makes sense. Let's see here. Is it possible that Chandler and Pitbull could be the best fight of the weekend? Yeah, it absolutely could. Mm-hmm. If you guys were fighters, what would your walkout song be? What would yours be? You had a walkout song. What did you use for your fight?
Oh my God, it's so funny this guy says that, because I was thinking about this on yesterday. I was listening to this great song Chemical Brothers. I love them. They got a great song called We've Got to Try. Great song, great video. Ooh, great song. Check that one out. That would be my new song. I did pick Atlas Era and Massive Attack when I had my Muay Thai fight, which was a great song. I like the I like those beats and stuff, man. It gets me pumped up.
Yeah, I would go Jane's Addiction just because I always like that song.
Great song.
So I'll stick with that. Cole Smith was a great pick, so people can shut up. Yeah, I noticed the guy here last week who said that Cole Smith was a complete can isn't here this week, which isn't surprising because he never watched any tape because there was none on tape. But I know people who've trained with Cole. I knew he had a chance, and he's so big, and that showed in that fight. So good on Cole Smith. Tommaso, Mark, what hair gel or pomade do you use? I think it's just whatever the store brand. Nothing fancy. Ariel will be okay with Ali fighters because remember, Ariel will get Connor just like last year. Ariel hasn't gotten Connor on a show in a while. I think it will suffer to a certain degree because he has the best. Here's the way they get around it though, is that Brett Okamoto can just interview any of Ali's clients. Like that's the way they'll get around it. You just won't get him on video. Tommaso, Mark, Ortega just got medically cleared. Who should he fight? Who should he fight? Does Darren Elkins have a fight? I think I mentioned this last time. Like, just like a veteran, like a bounce back fight or something. Or should he fight someone ranked higher? What do you think, Adam?
I don't know. At this point, like, I just want to see these guys fight. It feels like the featherweight division is not really moving. Aldo and Volkanovski with so many other guys like Egg or Zabib, Yair. These guys aren't fighting. Let's just get them fights. The Elkins, another guy.
Tommaso, Mark, does Laura still follow you? Yeah, Laura Senko never had an issue with me. It was Megan who did, and I talked to both of them, and as far as I know, everything's fine. So until I hear otherwise, I'll just stick with that. But again, I feel like I was misrepresented. Don't have an issue with what I said. I apologize for using some of the wording I used. I should have been a little smarter about that, but I don't regret what I said, and I backed it up and I gave the reasons why. I mean, it's not, believe it or not, you have to be critical of fighters.
I just don't get it, man. How could you be a fighter in the UFC and have such thin skin about this kind of thing? Like, someone says,
I get it, man. I get it to a certain degree where, like, you know, she's a woman. I'm sure she's getting a lot of shitty comments her way. I get that. It's just that, like, am I the guy that's really, like, you're going at? Like, there's people who say probably way worse stuff than that. Yeah. And, like, you should be singling out those people. But anyways, again, I talked it over. Should be all good here. Adam, probably a good time to wrap things up again. Just follow Adam and I. We'll have updates as far as the future of the show. But again, I'll reiterate this one more time here. Adam and I we're not breaking up. It's just, we're not going to be doing this podcast for a while until we can figure out a way to get Adam over at the score. Like I said, I'm a senior news editor there now, so I will have some say, I'm sure, in who gets hired over there when they do decide to make that. But yeah, I don't want Adam to do this. I don't want Adam and I to do a show where Adam's not getting paid. That's not what it's about. So once we can get that figured out, you better believe Adam will be the first person I want in here. In the meantime, I'll probably just do rotating hosts just to, you know, keep the podcast going. And it's also going to depend on my workload because I'm basically the only MMA guy there. I don't know how much work I'm going to be able to get to do. So that's that. But in the meantime, guys, Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Lynch on Sports. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Again, it's not going away. I'll just be doing more like tutorials or advice, things like that, because I think there is some value there. A lot of people aren't doing that. In the meantime, got interviews with Julian Arosa. They just posted that one, or I posted that one, I should say. He's going to be fighting Julio Arce on the Rochester card. Also interviewed Zach Cummins.